Today we are beginning a new series of messages on the theme of abundance. And we're going to be looking at the abundance that God has brought into creation. Later, thinking hard about His abundance in grace and mercy. We're going to talk about what it means for us as God's people to live with abundance and what responsibility and challenge that brings to us. So it's going to be a good few weeks of digging into the Scripture and thinking about what His will is and what He wants us to know. We're going to read a series of Bible passages together this morning. If you'd like to first turn in the Old Testament right to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 24 through 31. This is all about the sixth day of creation as it's recorded here. God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created humanity in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now turn with me to the book of the Psalms. Psalm 104. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 24. Psalm 104, verse 24. "How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you have formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you gave it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works, He who looks at the earth." And then now let us turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, and begin reading at verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We do live in an amazing, amazing world. Some of you know that Joanne and I just got back from a week in Cuba, laying on the beach. And thank you for giving us the time to go do that. But it was beautiful. And my favorite part about being in places like that is the ocean. You know, you stand on the beach and you look out, and as far as you can see, there's water. It's absolutely immense. The scope of the oceans is crazy big. In my life, I've had opportunities several times to drive across Canada, and I was always humbled by the prairies. You drive through the prairies and you get into Saskatchewan, and you stop the car finally, and you get out and you look around, and it's flat and big, and you just see the land. You turn around and all you see is wheat. And this world is so big. I found the prairies to be the place where I felt most humble before God and felt closest to Him. I was thinking about the time with Joanne and I while we were living in the Philippines. We lived in the northern part of Mindanao, and that's where the Del Monte pineapple plantations are. And we drove out into the middle of the Del Monte pineapple plantation, and it was like being on the prairie, except instead of wheat, it was pineapples for absolutely as far as you could see in any direction. You turn around, and it's nothing but pineapples. And wow, that was amazing. I wish that you all could go there and experience that. This is a big, beautiful, extravagant world. I was reading about the first Europeans that sailed to North America, and that they would sail towards Newfoundland, and there they would sail over top of what's now George's Bank, and it's a little bit of a shallower part. Apparently, the continental shelf comes up, and it's fantastic for fish. And I read this somewhere, that there were so many cod in the sea that they felt that they could get out of the boat and walk on the backs of all the cod that were in that part of the ocean. The abundance that was there was just staggering. Heard about passenger pigeons in our continent. That there were so many of these birds. They were fairly little birds. Like they were like pigeons, I suppose. And there were so many of them that when a flock of passenger pigeons would go overhead, that people would have to turn on their lights. They'd have to light lanterns because the passenger pigeons literally blocked out the sun. And we've heard stories of buffalo on the prairies. That would be these thundering herds that would take hours for the herd to pass by because there were just so many. God did amazing things in creating the world. He created a diversity. He created color. He had shapes and smells incorporated into it. He made it a world with animals and creatures as diverse as earthworms to great white sharks. He created a world in which all these creatures are in a web of relationships where they somehow support each other and contribute to each other, that whole circle of life thing from the Lion King. It's true that, and we say, well, the Lion King can make a beautiful little ditty about it, circle of life, but we know that is because God is the creator and he put it all together. He's the one that orchestrates that beautiful, diverse, intricate dance that is creation. He has invested in the world all the things that are needed for his creatures and for his people to be blessed. Nothing in creation was put there so that it would experience lack. When God created the world, he said, I'm going to put it together so that it will be a place of abundance. That there is going to be plenty and more for all. Now, the obvious response we would have to that statement is, well, we don't always see that, do we? We know that the world is not a place where we can say, oh, there is an abundance for all and that there is enough for everything. We know that if you go now to George's bank, that the cod stocks have been decimated. And as we learn about it, we hear about factory trawlers that vacuumed the oceans sterile and how the cod stocks collapsed. And it was because it was an inappropriate action on the part of people that decimated that natural resource. You know that passenger pigeons, that people said, oh, there are so many of them that we can kill them for sport. And there would be trees full of passenger pigeons, and people would take shotguns and just blast away. And each shot of a shotgun, it said, would kill 61 passenger pigeons. And there were contests to see who could kill the most passenger pigeons with one shot. And it was so popular that in time the population collapsed, and now that creature of our land is totally extinct. There are no more passenger pigeons. Buffalo, that grew those great and majestic animals, were at the edge of extinction because of slaughter and the taking away of land that they needed to live. In my own travels, I have seen people suffering from a lack of abundance. Joanne and I lived with our family in the Philippines for quite a number of years, and we saw people that did not experience abundance. We saw people living in shacks beside open sewers, whose children were misshapen and stunted because of legs like this. And Filipinos, you know, have black hair. We saw all kinds of kids with orange hair. Well, isn't that funny that they have orange hair? And the reason they have orange hair was because of vitamin deficiencies. They're just not getting the food in their diet to be healthy. We've seen the slums and ghettos of American cities, but we've also seen street kids and homeless people in Hamilton. And we know that these people do not have a story of abundance, that their story is the story of deprivation and lack. I'm convinced that every story, every instance of a lack of abundance in our creation represents a sorrow in the heart of God. God did not create this world to be a place of lack. He created it to be a place of abundance. He created the world to have the capacity and the potentiality to provide for all His creatures, so that they could thrive. And we read about how He created people. In His own image, He did. Created them so that they could be the ones to take care of this creation, to foster it, to nurture it, to help it develop and produce the ongoing abundance that the world needed. He created in His image bearers the capacity to see to the ongoing blessing of the world. And then there came sin. Then there was the brokenness of people saying, we're not going to do it God's way. Saying we're not going to make our responsibility to care for the earth the priority mandate that we've been given. Instead, we are going to think of ourselves. We're going to make ourselves God. And we're going to do things that enrich us. And if that makes poverty upon the earth, if that despoils the creation, well, we're going to be okay with that as long as we, you know, the little gods that we deem ourselves to be, have all that we want. I think sin can be understood to be utterly selfish. Rather than God, us. Rather than the care of creation, the care of us. Rather than the will of God, the will of us. And the result of that is that abundance gives way to poverty. Well, here we are in this place, I think a place in which we can see signs of God's abundance. I see people maybe that have different colored hair. You know, maybe it's not your natural hair color. But it's not because of malnutrition, it's because you got it out of a bottle. Right? Your fashion, and that's okay, I'm not criticizing that. But I don't see anybody that looks malnourished here. I don't see anybody that looks fearful that they're not going to be able to find shelter tonight. We are blessed. We are tremendously privileged to be the people we are, living in the context we are. And we should give glory to God for that. We have to remember that our identity, even though that we talk about sin and the effects of sin and the pervasiveness of sin and all that, and that's all biblical and true, we must remember that the Bible also says that now that our primary identity is not that of sinners. It says that we are new creations and that the Lord has given us good things to do in advance because we are the renewed, transformed children of God. We are people who trust in the Lord. And so we say, we come here and we do not worry, where we're not thinking that everything is going to disappear because God is in heaven and God is in charge and God loves us and God will provide. And we remember and we cling to those wonderful words of Jesus that he teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. Says, hey, he takes care of the grass. If he takes care of the grass, he's going to take care of you. The grass is things that he's made, and they're important. But you are his children. And will not the Father care for his children if he can take care of even the grass? Well, of course he will. We are people who trust in God and know that we're not just receivers of the abundance of creation. We receive that abundance, and in our privileged place here in this community, in this culture, in this time, we are the privileged receivers of abundance. But we know that means that we have to also look back to Genesis 1 and say, well, then what is the mandate that God gives his children, his people in the world? And it is to be the people that strive to expand the abundance, to allow the whole world, if we could, to experience the blessing of being creatures of the Creator, the Provider. It is our duty to seek the restoration of that which was corrupted. It is our calling to protect the things that are at risk. It is what we are supposed to do to promote and celebrate that which is fruitful and beautiful. It's annoying to me that the environmental movement has claimed the environment as their concern. Because it's not only their concern. Care of the earth and the promotion of its abundance is a biblical calling. It's a responsibility that's given to all God's people. And we need to think about it, and we need to be challenged about it, and we need to be proactive. It's cool that we can have a vision that is as broad and glorious as care of the entire earth. Because this is our Father's world. And He has given us an abundant creation. Let's be faithful. And let's dream of abundance being the experience of all. You pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this world that you've given to us and that it is filled with abundance. And where our activities have fail to promote that, we ask your forgiveness. Where some are able to hold on to so much at the expense of others, whether it's our society that results in the poverty of another society or whatever, we ask, Lord, that you'll help us to be your agents in bringing abundance to all. It's hard to know how to apply that and what it would mean. But we ask that you would let us seek that justice for the sake of your creation, for the sake of people made in your image. Lord in heaven, hear our prayer, which we offer up in Jesus' name. Amen.